Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. There is no other quote that expresses better how different men and women can be. While the world is shouting about female empowerment and inspires women to speak up, we can scream as loud as we want if we can't be heard or we are not given the stage. Today with me is Alessandro Frosali. As motivational speaker and men's work facilitator, Alessandro helps men break free from societal conditioning, reclaim their masculine edge, and live with purpose. Today, he is going to help us understand how men experience modern social silencing and how we can effectively communicate our needs as women so we can feel emotionally supported while we grow our businesses. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you are making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. It's your host, Ivana Ivanek. Today, I have a very special guest here who is willing and excited to share a very, very vulnerable conversation with me, as I am seeing so many women struggle to communicate with their husbands, whether this is because they respect each other a little bit too much, whether the conversations are incredibly uncomfortable if you have to set a boundary without wanting to be a dick, excuse me, my language. And I think it is so important that we understand how men and women experience each other's social silencing, what we are asked from society to be, and what we actually want to be. I'm going to deep dive today in this conversation with Alessandro. So we are having a greater time growing our communities with one another. Hi, Alessandro. Hi, thank you for being here with me.
Thanks for having me.
And I would love to, before we dive deeper into this conversation, you came from a whole different direction. You did marketing before. Please take us shortly through your journey. How did you find your purpose and how did you get to the work you are doing today?
Well, firstly, thanks for having me. And it has been a journey. It's, you know, I think life is not necessarily always a straight line. It looks like a straight line in hindsight. You know, when you look back, you're like, oh, that's how everything connected. But, you know, while you're in it, it feels like this roller coaster and you're going through all different things. But essentially for me, I have always been in attention marketing. So attention marketing for me started just when I was a singer at 5 years old and then, you know, doing acting and things like that. And as soon as you try and get attention, when you get out of school, you have to monetize that. You start going to content and marketing. That was a very necessary or you know, simple step for me. It was to take all the work that I was doing creatively and bring that out and do that for our clients and companies and things like that. And really for me, I built my own agency. That agency, I was getting very good at using all of the skills I learned in a filmmaking degree and using that for clients and customers and building them up to thousands of views, then millions of views, and then followers and all of this. And interestingly enough, I started in the last couple of years also starting to mentor people in how to do social media. And then something sort of interesting happened and hit me about 6 months ago. Around 6 months ago, I was, it was like this perfect storm of all these things in my life happening. Number one, I had decided to lose weight. So it was this point where I wanted to reclaim my body because I felt like I'd gotten 20 kilos heavier than I'd been at my lowest. And so I started losing weight really quickly and also with a mission and a goal to just be fit again. So that was the first thing that happened. The second was, it was like around about my 1 year wedding anniversary. And within my relationship, my wife told me that I needed to be more of a man. At first, I was pissed off at this. You know, it was one of those things that really annoyed me. I was like, what do you mean be more of a man? You know, like I am a man. I mean, I do this and this. And I started getting really defensive of this. And I started then researching what she actually meant by this. And by researching, I was like, oh my gosh, there's loads of levels to what being a man is. And wow. And I just started learning and and started being surrounded by men for the first time in a while as well. So that was happening at the same time. And then the final thing that happened was all my mentees, all the around about 20 people that I was mentoring for social media, they were all guys. They were all a certain type of guy. It was actually like a man that's probably just before they're getting engaged or like 1 or 2 years into marriage. They weren't really sure of themselves. They had this sort of passive-aggressive nature to them where they felt like they were wanting to, whenever their wife said anything to them, they were like annoyed with their wife about it. So they had this tension in them, and they also weren't sure of their direction. And they were just trying to bring all of that out into social media. But I was just telling them, well, it's not going to work. What you need is purpose and expertise. Those are the things that you need. Those are the things that'll get you good on social media. And I kept finding every single mentee. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just teaching you about purpose and expertise. And then the next person, oh, that's their problem. They don't have any expertise or purpose. And it all hit me at once. You know, the weight loss, the lessons and learnings I was getting with my wife. And then this, every single one of my clients were all facing the same thing. And it was just, I need to help men here. Because no one's doing the kind of thing that is just helping them be, you know, a good man in within the relationship and also following purpose. And let me cut out the middleman of social media. Because in a way, I'm doing this anyway. Like I'm helping these men. I'm just sort of coaching them anyway on how to be a better man for the relationship and that so they can make good content. But content's not the end game for this. Like if anything, you've got to work on yourself first so that you know yourself, so that you can bring that out into the world, because there's no point trying to find yourself in a medium like social media, because it's an inefficient medium. It's easier to find yourself first, and then you can use social media in a really nice way. So there's no point trying to throw content out there and then get judged by somebody, and then all of a sudden, oh, I have to change who I am fundamentally, because you were just posting videos just to validate yourself. So that's where I was like, now let me strip back the layers and do this. And it became very clear. I started a men's group and started facilitating that. I've gone ahead and read a good, I think it's around 30 to 40 books now on masculine energy and purpose, and then old wisdom, you know, going back, and just like, wow. I started diving in and I realized, you know what, this is actually where I really want to be. And yeah, that's the journey that I'm on.
And I'm happy I found you on this journey, Alessandro. What I'm experiencing when we speak about men and women, and by the way, if you are listening to this, we are referring in this conversation for the ease of the conversation to men as one party and women as another party. If you identify differently, we still hope that you find yourself in one or the other situation in your partnership, and this conversation helps you, supports you to become a better communicator and understand your spouse and partner a little bit better, so you can both grow together and not apart. What I'm experiencing here is simply that when you speak about social media, indeed, there is sort of something that is equally in humanity, somebody who has the urge to create. There is something within us that wants to get out. And this is on the foundation who we really are. And this is what needs to be digged up. And I just had an incredible, beautiful conversation with a lady today who is an aspiring artist, tattoo artist, and she's building her personal brand. And I asked her, what do you want to be known for? And she said, what I want to be known for is not related to art. And I said, okay, let me judge that in a moment. Let's first discover it. And what we came down to, that her biggest pain in the world and why she wants to express it, is because people are so self-centered. Every time we go in a conversation, we only speak about ourselves, and we barely allow other people to shine because we are so focused on ourselves to be in the best spotlight and to showcase what we all can do. And she wants to become, she said, we need to become better listeners so we can actually build better communities. And I said, yeah, and how do you connect this through art? And she said, my art is connecting people on that level. And I said, there you go. And this is something she needed to believe first in order to express her authentic being and her message into the world so she can grow her personal brand. Which brings me ultimately into the deeper topic I want to go in here. So many women, I mainly work with women, that are having a huge urge to create, to express themselves, meaning also leveraging today's innovations like social media and building personal brands to build a company later and sell their products, etc., or just create meaningful change in the world. And then they face what we often don't see on social media, which is a very hard part to tackle. They face their husbands or spouses or partners at home who do not believe in all of this innovation, first of all, because the digital world, and why do you think you can succeed? Because there are so many out there already. And then it delves into more issues, like when women want to invest in themselves, into mentorship, into learning, into becoming better, improving skill sets, it becomes a shared thing. Well, I believe that once you have your business established, your business expenses are your decision. But as long as this is something in the growing and you are taking money that is perhaps family money, I think that needs to be discussed. And I have so many women facing these issues that they cannot communicate their needs to their husbands. And they probably, I dare to say, cannot express their worries and what their worries really are, and rather say just, I don't believe in this. You shouldn't be doing it. It's good the way it is. And then what happens next is that I have so many just shutting down and be like, sorry, Ivana, I can't. I just can't tell him. I would love to delve today a little bit into this conversation with you and explore what a man really feels on the other side, because I deeply know that is no husband who loves his wife or their partner would like to say from the bottom of their heart, I don't believe in you. I think there is something greater within. How do you experience as a man the way you are supposed to be in this world? Because I think there is a breadwinner conditioning that comes into this play where we can't allow, or men can't allow women the stage because they are expected to be somebody in our society.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it comes down to the roles that we choose within a relationship. And I think we need to have better communication about it, the roles that we choose within a relationship. So I think, you know, in the past, it was very much, we can speak about past as much as we want, but, you know, let's say 1950s, you got that first stage of really jerk male kind of, I go and go to work, woman stays at home and does the cleaning. And luckily, we're mostly past that in our society, right? We're mostly past that. And that's a certain point where we can almost laugh at it now because that's in the past. Right. The next stage, there's a few people who've really good writers who've written about this. And one is a guy named David Data. And the other one is Dr. Robert Glover. And they both talk about like the three stages of men. Now, the second stage is the stage where, you know, as we came into from the 1960s, and we were like, okay, we need to make this certain things that we need to equalize because things were not equal. Right? Things were wrong, you know, and then feminism sort of rises. Now, the unintended consequences of feminism is that the masculine gets stripped away. I often see this as well. And from my point of view, and I mean, I love the discussion of here. So at any point, you can always ask me if to clarify or anything. But as feminism sort of comes up, there's a lot of men who really want to do right, right? They want to do right by making everything equal. And especially in modern times, there's a lot of words like toxic masculinity and all of this sort of stuff. But in order to get rid of toxic masculinity, a lot of men have gotten rid of masculinity as well. Almost in the fear of toxic masculinity, they've gotten rid of both toxic and masculinity. Mm-hmm. And they sort of just try and stand there and try and please. And often what I see with males, and often when there is a silencing aspect in a relationship, is a man might inherently feel that he's already given up quite a lot for his woman, but he's never mentioned it out loud. And that's his fault. It's not the woman's fault. It's his fault because he hasn't ever taken responsibility for what he's actually wanted and what his boundaries are, what his wants are. And often that will manifest in what feels like non-belief in the woman when something new comes, when a change comes. And it actually requires the man to take a step up in the first place and be honest about where he's at. Now, that's the hard step for a man to do, is to actually have that recognition and honesty and go, you know what? Like, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. This is, and I only know it because this is how I was. A lot of my relationship with my wife, I would have felt like, oh, but I'm just giving to my wife. Like, so when we lived in Bali, she wanted to move back to Germany. And my gut reaction was, this is a bad idea. I don't know if Germany's the best place for us. But I just went, okay. You know what? Okay, we can go
But
back to
you
Germany.
gave her what she wanted.
I gave her what she wanted, but
Let
completely. But the problem here is not that I gave her what she wanted. I didn't tell her my thoughts underneath. It was not, something my gut said, this is no. Right? But then we got to Germany. Terrible decision for both of us. We both hated it. We both picked up lots of weight. We both felt terrible. And because I didn't say anything, because I felt like I gave that up, their resentment crept in from me that this was her decision. But what I never took into account was this was not her decision. This was both our decision. But my subconscious, my thing here was like, no, she made this decision for us. And I gave this up for her. And I think that's a space where a lot of men are. A lot of men are in the space where I've given so much to my woman, and now look at this new stuff or whatever. I mean, that gets into the next conversation. But there's this feeling, there's this resentment. And in order for us to know whether that inability to believe in a new project or not is true, we first have to see if there's resentment lying underneath and clear that away, I
I hear
think.
you. Thank you for explaining this. The moment you said to your wife, "Okay, we are going to Germany," which was, I see this as two things. You pleased her, you wanted to, because after all, we want our partners to be happy. I think this is something we really need to address. But on the other hand, you didn't even lie. You just did not say what you think for whatever reason. Do you know the reason now? Why you couldn't say that, whether we do it or not. I believe that this is a wrong decision because why did you not have the gut or the ability or the tools at that moment to have this conversation?
So Dr. Robert Glover calls this the nice guy syndrome. And a nice guy syndrome tends to come up when we have had emotionally unavailable mothers as men, and we want to please them. And or we've had fathers who have also been quite distant as well. And if we showed any emotion, then it's you get slapped down for it. And so we've basically just worked out that the best way to deal with life, the best way is just to please everyone. Let's just please everyone.
To avoid the
But the problem with this,
confrontation, like if we are.
avoid confrontation, avoid conflict at all costs, avoid being wrong at all costs as well, because you've been praised for always being right. You've been praised for being good. So you avoid being wrong. You avoid even rocking the boat. Let's not rock the boat to start off with. Let's just go with it. But again, that breeds these really big problems. It breeds passive aggressiveness from males, where they start to internalize things and they bring it out in aggressive ways, or they'll lash out at certain moments and they don't even know why. Or it'll come up when your wife says, I really want to do this online business. And you go, no. And it's like, wait, what are you talking about? No, like this should be a normal conversation. And they don't even know why they're saying no, but they just feel like I've had enough change. I've given too much out.
I find this very amusing. I know that these conversations hurt so much when you are right in the midst of it. Like having these serious conversations of change where one or the other person cannot quite understand it. And then the other person will be like, but can't you see? Like, why don't you understand me? I recently had a conversation where I found myself and my ego being in a way that I was almost embarrassed afterwards. And I haven't told my partner yet, so he will probably hear this after this conversation drops. But there is a thing that in especially in the online space has been we were lied to, we were scammed. I need to address it as it is that if you start building a business in the online space, you're gonna be rich tomorrow. There are those big promises have been made and We slowly realized that's not the truth because it always depends where you come from, how much time you invest, how dedicated you are, how many detours you take, how many failures and rejections you're willing to go through before you succeed. And everybody has such a unique journey. And I have seen people succeed after 9 months leaving their job, and others after 3 years are still more stagnant. And just having to go through other hurdles and learn more skills in order to get there where they want to be. Same for me. I didn't have entrepreneurs in our family. Like I had to, I was learning this from mentors. I was trying to learn a lot myself, and a lot was to believe in myself. And I believe this takes time and this comes by doing. So even though I was making small money after a month after I started my business, because call it luck, call it dedication, I was working day and night. I had a consistent small amount that was coming in until today. And then as the years went by, there was more money coming in, but not as consistent as the small money was. So even if you see the growth in your business, somebody got a little impatient and addressed the thing and be like, how long are you still gonna do this? I'm like, excuse me, what I'm gonna do? Like, I'm just in the midst of it. Can't you see the breakthrough? Like, there's one after the other, the invitations I got, the opportunities I'm taking. Like, can't you see? In fact, I have not communicated the breakthroughs, first of all. So, of course, he could not see them. And secondly, because my partner is in a position like he's doing great stuff. But he's not an entrepreneur and he doesn't want to do things on his own. He's doing amazing stuff in his company and he's being the trailblazer in his company in this embedded situation he is in. So I cannot project my ambition on him and say, like, you know what, you don't understand. And what you're telling me is total BS, which I did at first. I was so protective towards myself. And all he wanted to know is, and this is something later we established, is I just would like to know for you, are you okay? And do you have a plan B if everything goes south? Where I was like, there is no plan B. Like, my plan A is my plan B and my plan C. Like, this is already, it's set in stone, but I cannot have him understand this because he's not in my skin. He doesn't have the dedication and this drive to change the world. So I needed to admit at this point, being like, okay, I can fight as much as I want, but I cannot fight someone's feeling and someone's wanting to feel secure in our relationship. So I said, yes, there's going to be a job if I fail, but whatever, I will not fail, right? But there is this, we had to have this conversation up and down where we both were extremely hurt and being misunderstood, but also that, at some point, we both needed to say, okay, where is this going to? And that there is something deeper, which is fear.
Of
Fear
course.
because he loves me. He doesn't want to see me fail. He doesn't want to see me being hurt. So now I'm practicing with my partner already for years, having these conversations. How can you give us a little more insight or an advice how we can start addressing these conversations if this is for the first time and we haven't had them yet in our relationship, which I believe many people didn't.
It's tough to jump into conversations like this in the midst of a relationship. It always is. You know, the answer, like,
Unfortunately,
and
nobody teaches us to start a relationship like this. So we have this rainbow and roses situation, and then life kicks in, and be like, oh, damn it. So now I either break up, I run away, or I deal with that thing.
I know. And this is one thing I always get annoyed with also with men's like work people, you know, and this is something that I really feel strongly with this is I keep seeing all these men's writers and things talk about how, for example, Rollo Tomassi from the Rational Male, he writes about how like you kind of have to work on your masculinity outside of a relationship. You can't do it in a relationship. And I just call bullshit. I'm just like, no, you need to be able to. We don't get taught these, and we have to grow within it. And I've done that in my relationship. Look, the first way to do it is to realize one that you both are working on, and you both love each other. That comes from that. So there's a certain level of, you know, that everything that you're about to say comes from love and understanding from the other person, right? That's the first level of all of it. You need to be able to find and talk about a space going, hey, whatever you're saying and whatever I'm saying, that it's coming from love and it's coming from a place of I love you. Like, you need to create that base level. My wife and I created something we like to call a check-in, which is essentially where we once a week, we haven't done it for the last couple of months. It's always, we should jump into a check-in every now and then. Whenever things start get rocking, you're like, oh yeah, you haven't actually had a check-in for a while. But a check-in is essentially a moment where we have pure listening from the other person. No judgment, pure listening. You've set up the space between the two people. Mm-hmm. It's just a space where you go, you know what? There might be things that are in here that I just need to get out. And if I get it out, things will be clearer. And this sort of takes a lot of understanding from both sides, and it takes a lot of effort. But when you can achieve a level of communication where you can actually say everything to your partner, you start getting quicker and quicker to resolving any issues that happen throughout the day, because you start reflecting on yourself more. But both people do need to be invested within that reflection. It's really difficult when only one person's invested in that reflection, because if only one person's invested in that reflection, then they see the other person's not, they start sometimes getting to this place of, ah, oh, but my partner doesn't, they don't understand, and they start, you know, talking bad things about their partner, and then they actually jump out of the good work that they're doing and start jumping into a blaming role, and jumping into that blaming role is also going to make it worse. Is an understanding that you've chosen your person for a reason. Right. And you've chosen that person. And really, if they are not understanding this, just getting them to go, there's times that I need to speak, just when I might just need to have a no judgment zone, set that up as best as possible. And then you'll be able to get a lot of ideas across in that no judgment zone. But again, even getting to a no judgment zone takes work.
It can be something like a check-in or to address a time and space where we are having conversations that can be simple as this. You can correct me if this perhaps doesn't work. I'm just, you know, just putting here my creative mind to work and be like, I know you do not agree with me investing into, let's say, this course, this program, this mentor, or in this school or diploma, because you do not see the value. Is it correct to say, I assume that you would not, that you don't see the point of me working hard because I don't need to? Let's say if a woman, for example, is financially backed up to her husband and has the, you know, the privilege to stay at home with their children, but actually the point is not of changing that, the privilege or wanting to be the breadwinner, but I just would like to express my wisdom and knowledge and bring it to the world in a way that fulfills me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst thing, the last thing that you want, you want to also be able to have these like money tie conversations. They're the difficult ones because you feel like you're owned. I watched my mother for years with a relationship with my father, and my father was one of the kindest men, and I would actually probably call him a very nice guy as well. He probably had whatever that syndrome was too.
I truly believe this has nothing to do with not being kind or not loving one another.
Yeah.
I think there is something really that is readiness to work through the issue as you addressed before.
Yeah, but I think the other thing is like this, when money's involved, it's very easy to sort of just go, well, you can say no or something like that, or you can literally just cut off ideas from your partner. But there needs to be some level of autonomy within relationship too. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some level of independence within a relationship. And so, like, I can actually understand both aspects. Let's talk hypothetical. You know, let's say a husband is the breadwinner and his wife wants to learn and wants to create a business, but they want to pay, let's say, $20,000 for a course or a coaching mastermind from somebody. The thing is, the man's also not wrong by saying, look, maybe we don't have that money. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, maybe it won't work. But he's wrong when it starts going to the point of degrading the woman. He's wrong when it starts going, you know what, like, you're silly to believe in this, or this will never work, or, you know, not actually seeing the point of view behind it. I think it's a very different issue talking about practicalities. Can we afford this? Versus this is going to work and you're being silly for this. You know, that's a very different line. And I think it's about being clear with that. And I think men do need to step up to it and understand one thing. Our women are different to us. As you said at the beginning of this episode, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And this is the biggest learning for me, is that women are very different to me. And often we just need to understand that. It's not a singular, this is my woman being like this. It's part of the feminine, which gives us energy, it gives us radiance, it gives us beauty and wonder, but it's also confusing to us. We have no idea how it works because it's not logical. It's like pay $20,000 for a course for this, and this doesn't make sense in my brain. But the man does need to take the responsibility to understand that it is the feminine and actually give space to that because it also gives him radiance and love. And that's what he craves too.
So actually, what it comes down to now is that actually women are the better entrepreneurs because often there is no logic in things. Like you just gonna do it and you're gonna believe it that this is gonna work out for me. I'm gonna do the everything I've got and I'm gonna invest myself, my knowledge and everything in this, so it's going to work. And I think this is the feminine faith and the feminine capacity to surrender to the unknown, where the typical masculine would rather say, okay, but I need numbers, the accountant. I need it black on white, like what is my security here? And what am I getting out of this, right? So what if it fails? It also involves my money, as you say, etc. And how can we balance this masculine and feminine conversation? Because I am this freaking believer. I have so much hope and faith, and this is what got me here. It's the learning, it's doing it despite everything, but it's that one thing that nobody believes in you, that it's you believing in yourself. And by now I even learned to, not look at my partner, what he's doing and what he says, no matter how much it hurts, just to get over that point of not believing in myself. And then later I go back to him and be like, listen, this hurt, but I'm over it and now we can talk about it. How can we balance this a little bit better? I know one thing is understanding, the other one is communication, but what is the main ingredients to this? Because we live next to each other in the same household, perhaps having even shared bank accounts, and yet there is so much disbalance in allowing one another to be the way we are, if this makes sense to you.
It makes sense. It makes sense. It's the fully understanding that we need the feminine, and it's the full understanding that we need the masculine. Because just as much as the masculine might seem restrictive, at the same time, it is the stability. Just as much as the feminine might seem creative or chaotic, even, it is the fresh energy that comes in. It's the love for both. We cannot have one without the other. This is where yin and yang comes in. And it's also to embrace the inside within. You know, like when you speak about that feminine quality, I can tell you right now, I was a very feminine man. I actually still have a lot of very feminine qualities within me. You know, that entrepreneurial spirit, that chaotic, that numbers was the last thing that I cared about. I actually was exactly very feminine in that. And my wife was very masculine in that. But one way that we actually get better is by genuinely having that appreciation for the other person's role. So, whatever the
Role
other
as
person,
in what they bring to the world as a person.
yeah. Well, even what they bring to the relationship. What they bring to the relationship. Like, I have this sort of saying, often when I get into a fight with Julia, with my wife, I am not fighting against her. I am not fighting for myself. I'm fighting for the relationship. I don't actually really like. I've been callous with her sometimes before, and I've said, "Look, I don't really care about you in this situation. I care about our relationship here. This is what I'm building here, and there's no blaming or whatever. But this is what's best for this relationship right now." And I look at it. I separate that. And when I look at a relationship, it is that perfect circle of yin and yang, where you've got black and white, but then each person, each one has the circles in the middle of them, right? The other color within it. We have all of that within ourselves, and we need to balance all of that. So this is why I found it interesting when you said, this conversation can be for anyone who identifies as man and woman, or anyone else in between. You hope that they can get something out of this. Of course they will. Even if you get a relationship, it's not just a heterosexual relationship that this happens with. We have feminine and masculine polarity within all of the relationships that we have. In actual fact, relationships only happen because we have polarity. It's like magnets that attract, and we get to choose that polarity. But it's if we understand ourselves, the more we understand ourselves, oh, I'm a man that wants to be a feminine man, right? And you find a woman that wants to be the masculine woman within that. Understanding self will create that polarity and will create space for the other person to be who they want to be. But we have to give space to the other person. We have to understand who we are, and we have to look at the relationship as how do we make this a whole relationship together? And in my case, it took me having to become more of a man, having to become more of the masculine numbers stability. And it took my wife having to let go of all of that and actually become more free and loving to the point where now she's so free. I'm like, Jesus, like I feel like I've all of a sudden gone into a matrix and I'm the one telling her to pull back. What is going on? This used to be the other way around 3 years ago. But that is what we wanted in our relationship. We chose that and we got there. And I feel that that's how we take ownership is we go on this pathway together and we go, we have a relationship outside of ourselves. I feel like we need a little bit of this quality and we need a little bit of this quality to make this relationship whole. Who's going to step up and take that part and who's going to step up and take that part? And that's what I believe this third stage, earlier I was speaking about, the second stage, first stage of masculinity, second stage. The third stage is when we genuinely integrate what we want, and we build the relationship of our choosing, where it's not all spine and no heart, which was that jerk ideal. It's not all heart and no spine, the men with no balls whatsoever and the women who are just telling them what to do. It's not that. It's integrated masculinity and it's an integrated femininity where we build relationships together from our choice.
Yeah, I believe there is a lot we can still or need still to learn because, as you addressed in the beginning, when feminism came in and men and women were fighting relentlessly for our rights, that we as women wanted to be equal than men, which was equal in rights, opportunities, and earning mainly and being seen. But what we also with that adopted is perhaps even needing to operate as a man,
Like a
which
man.
is definitely hasn't been working for so many
Well,
of us.
it did women a disservice, a big time, Like, this is one thing when I talk about me having to go through this whole point to become more masculine and get to my masculinity, my wife's been doing exactly the same for her femininity. And one thing she realized was that she thought she had to operate like a man in this world to be an entrepreneur, to be what she does. And she's had to go through this whole thing going, oh my gosh, to be successful, I actually have to be more creative, which is more the feminine trait, not more masculine. I don't have to hustle harder. I don't have to do all of these things. I actually have to delve into intuition, emotion, speaking. That's how I'll get my clients. As soon as she jumped into that, she starts thriving. And the thing is, she thought she had to do it like a man. And it wasn't her. Now, of course, some women can choose to do it like that, and that might be them, and that's fine. And I don't think there's any right and wrong way about this. But there's a lot of people who stayed, a lot of psychologists that have looked at this, and it's not dissimilar to 80-20 rule, where the rule for 80% of the people are that when you're born as a man, you work best in your masculine energy. There is still the 20% that is completely outside of that, and that's beautiful because again, that's actually your yin and yang still, and 80-20 sort of goes across all things. And mostly women, they work best in their feminine mode. And if we actually work to our strengths in that way, I think it's beautiful. I don't think feminism wanted, oh gosh, this is a big claim, but I don't think feminism wanted to strip away all that was beautiful about the feminine. I don't think it wanted that.
But I think for a bit of time, we believe that. And I like to see it coming back now and being like, okay, we've got the rights, but we also have the right to operate as who we are with a really like
Exactly.
more with our hearts rather than with our brains. And
Yeah.
now I want to tap into shortly into the topic of asking for help. What I see with lots of women who that became successful one way or the other, that we forgot to ask for help because, as you said, we thought we needed to operate in this masculine era in order to succeed in anything. And asking for help suddenly became a sign of weakness, as well as for women. It used to be a man thing, like the man needs to be strong, but now suddenly women don't ask for help anymore. And often I come to this conclusion with my partner where he can't help me in many things because it's my decision to make, it's my struggle to go through, it's my fear to fight to be on stage or in front of camera. So he can't really help me with that, like in terms of doing it for me, nor understanding. But I always say, but why can't you support me emotionally? Like, don't fix the problem, but be with me, sit with me in the problem. And I would like to ask you, am I asking too much from a man to be able to surrender into the into absolute emotional support in a topic that he perhaps can't even 100% relate to? Because I know my partner is not going to speak on stages. He won't. Perhaps I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just saying something, but it's just not him. So can I even claim or want to be emotionally supported on a very high level? Is it even possible from a like
Well,
from
I, yeah, I don't know if we can get everything from our partners. We
Ooh.
can't. We can't get everything from our partner. Our partner, it was also never meant to be everything for us. It's quite a difficult job. You know, even if I think about it for me, like Julie and I used to work together as well. You know, on Frasali Creative when I ran the agency. And so then you work together, live together, you're housemates, you are married, you are, you know, everything together. And then at the same time, I wanted her to be my philosophy partner. I also wanted her to understand my feelings. I also, in the end, we actually, I think a big problem and the reason why we feel like our partner's not giving enough is because we put so much on them, and it's because we lack community. We lack community. A big part of everything and or a lot of the reasons that we have issues right now is because we don't have close friends anymore. We don't have friends that you can just have 8 minutes with. You know, there's literally a study that if you like speak to somebody for 8 minutes about your problems. I'm sure you've probably seen the Simon Sinek clip that he speaks about this. Simon Sinek's great with this, and he'll always bring up these wonderful, you know, insights. But there's 8 minutes you can talk to a friend. It's better than therapy. It's better than anything, and you can get all of that emotional support you're looking for. But the thing is, you've chosen a very like entrepreneurship is a very masculine sort of direction, or at least has been seen as masculine. I think the interesting thing is, I find that, you know, entrepreneurship, you're right, entrepreneurship in a feminine way is actually, it's booming. I've got a lot of very good entrepreneur friends here who are delving more in the heart level, and that's where women thrive. It's like that's where the work gets great. But we shouldn't expect our partners to be there fully as emotional support all the time. I think, yes, you can expect from him to hear you. I think an expectation to hear. But to get back, I would not put that on someone. And you would see if you were to give it to somebody else, a good friend or something like that, you will see how quickly he'll want it back. It's almost as if you needing it pushes it away because it feels like a duty, like a task. And men, for some reason, hate more tasks on top of the list because we don't understand the feminine. So we look at having to understand the feminine as another task we have to do during the day. Now, I don't believe that a man should just check out of a relationship and not be there, doesn't listen, and should be on this, like, and a woman should just bottle everything inside. I don't believe that. I believe he should be there and listen, and he should hear you, and he should make his best effort to understand. But at the same time, it shouldn't be a duty for all of to completely understand. And just like it shouldn't be
Expectation, you put
his,
in.
an expectation, yeah, just like it shouldn't be his to have you be all of for him. And I only think it's become that because our circle of community gets smaller and smaller every year. We don't have
You're
the
right.
parents living near us. We don't have the friends around us. We don't have, people to talk to. That family gets smaller and smaller. And it's gotten to the point where our immediate partners are our only person. And we need to get it out. So who are we going to get it out to? Our partner.
Right there. Right
They're right
there,
there.
all day, every day. Yeah. So I will just conclude this conversation, and what I learned from this, and I hope your listener, you learned even more, is that in order to understand one another, whether it's the feminine or the masculine side, we need to start in understanding ourselves in order to understand the other side a little bit better. Well, I would like to thank you a lot, loads, loads, loads for being vulnerable for us and sharing your deepest insights into your own relationship and your life. And to round up this conversation, Alessandro, I would love to know from you, how would you like to spend your old years?
My old years.
Yes, 50 years from now, where do we find you?
Teaching. I've always had this idea, and when I was younger, I thought it was like potentially motivational speaking, and it probably is, but if I pull it back, if you had me, I've always known my purpose is to take ancient wisdom, take ancient knowledge and bring it into metaphors. I love metaphors, stories, and ideas, and I love sharing that with people. And I can imagine myself working with people forever, just taking these ideas, bringing them into a metaphor because I love it, and then giving it away. And I can imagine myself doing that.
We will be excited to follow you on this journey. To get in touch with Alessandro, dear listener, you will find everything you need in the show notes. He's a very open-minded guy. This is how we met and had incredibly good conversation. And I wish the same for you. If you have a need to learn anything more about this topic, I am asking you and a desire for you to reach out to Alessandro. And with that said, thank you so much for taking the time and introducing us to this so important topic.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.